Acts chapter 1, please, and the words of the 24th verse will take us our text. Acts 1, verse 24, it says, "And they prayed and said," remember these are people that have been praying for 10 days already, "and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." We have been in Sabbath mornings considering together the appropriate portions, guiding you to them as well for your own reading and study, the appropriate portions and subjects that make us ready, help us, guide us and prepare us for a congregational vote and for a congregational meeting. We thought of some general qualifications. We took some time to look at the work of the elder, including the work of the elder as a presbyter. We took some time to consider the work and the qualifications for the office of the deacon as well. I want this morning, on the final Sabbath, just before the election, to consider this portion and from it to give some guidance to three groups of people that will be involved in the election this coming Thursday night. First of all, if we could say something to those who will choose, that is the people who will actually cast their votes on Thursday night. Remember that it is the communicant membership of the church who will choose. And we have highlighted in this portion that even away back then in Jerusalem, in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, they had a role. They had a list of members. So it's the communicant members who will choose, the communicant members who will cast their vote. And I remind you, as we did in the announcements, that it's only the communicant members of the church who can cast their votes on Thursday night. I take the opportunity to appeal to you and to encourage you for a full turnout of the members this Thursday evening. Remember that being able to vote at a congregational meeting is one of the great privileges of membership. And I encourage you to use your privilege. We're saddened at times in our land that people don't avail of the opportunity to vote as they should. And I would say to you today, don't be careless with the privilege and the opportunity that you have. Sometimes the government in their elections talk about a low turnout at the polls. Well, don't let that be the case, please, this coming Thursday night. We did announce the date of the election at the harvest last October, some 8 months in advance, so that everyone was well aware of when the election would actually take place, so that you could plan and make your plans in order to be present at it. So don't let there be a low turnout of members this coming Thursday night. I urge you all, even if you're not a member, but if you're a believer, take this meeting very seriously. Take it upon your heart, particularly in prayer. It is a very important night for any church. Remember that what will happen on Thursday night is not just another meeting. Sometimes we can fall into that routine. It is a serious business when a congregation gathers to choose people that will hold office in the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember that the future direction and the future welfare of the church is in your hands, in the hands of the members of the congregation. The church is only as good as the men who are in office, the caliber, the spirituality of the men that are in office. So please take the meeting on Thursday night very seriously. And let me warn you, as we did at the beginning of the process, to beware of people who ask you to vote for them or ask you to vote for somebody else, or who run down other people in the congregation in order to get you to vote for them, or to get you to vote for a friend. It is very sad when it happens, but it does happen. It is a reality. Let me remind you in that context that slander is the work of the devil. If somebody comes to you running down the character of someone else, slander is the work of the devil. We highlighted that to you in one of the qualifications for the deacon. It says that the wife of the deacon is not to be a slanderer. Literally, the word there is devils. And that makes very clear to us that slander is the work of the devil. Don't be involved in it. It's not a spiritual thing. The people that do that are not spiritual people. So don't pay any attention to any such people or persons. You may still be unsure this morning. You may still be undecided about who you should actually vote for. You might ask this morning, what should I do about that? How do I go about making up my mind or settling my mind? Well, let me say to you, one thing you don't do is come to the meeting on Thursday night and look at what the person beside you does. That's not how you decide, or that's not how you determine the will of God in this manner. The answer, men and women, is very simple. How you determine and how you make the decision, how you settle your mind. The answer, in fact, is the same answer that would be given when it comes to the Christian life in making any major decision. You make that decision by prayer. Isn't that what our text tells us? Verse 24, and they prayed and said. And I emphasized to you earlier, these are people that had been 10 days in prayer. Do you see the preparation that they made? They were praying for the Holy Ghost, but they had a dual purpose in praying. They knew that this election was coming, and they were making it an earnest and a concerted matter for prayer as well. They prayed and they said. So I urge you, brethren and sisters, if there's still indecision in your heart and mind about what to do, what you need to do this week is get into the closet. Get alone with the Lord. Get the Bible open before you and pray carefully over the portions that we have highlighted over these last few weeks and months. And as you're there in prayer before God, make the simple request. Ask the Lord to lay upon your heart, leave you in absolutely no doubt as to those that you should vote for this coming Thursday night. Verse 24 says, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. That their voting list was reduced to two names. That they had a choice to make between two men. And they asked the Lord to show them clearly. The Lord could see things that we can't see. Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts. We can only see the outward appearances, 1 Samuel tells us. But the Lord sees the heart. So we need to ask the Lord to show us and to guide us, taking into account that there are things the Lord knows about people that we don't know. We can only see it by the fruit and the evidence in their life. But we need to pray, show whether of these two. Maybe in your mind there's a doubt between a couple of people, a couple of men, two or three. Well, here's what you do about that, men and women. You lay it out before the Lord. And you ask the Lord to show you the ones that, not that you have chosen, because remember, it's His choice, ultimately. The ones that the Lord Himself has chosen to be in office at this time. The Scriptures give us many great promises about guidance. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. So even in a time like this, the important thing is to acknowledge the need of the help and guidance of God, and He will direct us, and He'll direct you as a congregation. Think of those words in Psalm 32, I will teach thee and instruct thee in the way that thou should go, and guide thee with mine eye. So I urge you, claim those promises, brethren and sisters. And God will direct your paths. God will guide you very clearly, even about this vital matter of who to put into office in the church. So take this upon your heart. Here's the way to proceed over these next few days. Pray for that direction. Pray that God will clearly give you the guidance that is needed. And don't get up. Don't get up from your knees until it's settled, until you have a peace in your heart about what you ought to do. Notice, as you think of the words there, they prayed and said. They were actually praying in the meeting, the congregational meeting itself. Even right up until the very point where the vote was taken, they were still crying on to the Lord for his help. So let me urge you to do that even on Thursday night. Do you remember what it says about Nehemiah chapter 2? He was standing before the king, and the king asked him, for what do you make request? And there's a little statement that says, so I pray to the God of heaven. That was a quiet prayer. It wasn't that he said to the king, just wait a wee minute to have a word of prayer here. He shot up a prayer from his heart to ask the Lord for his help, for his leading, and for his guidance. And I encourage you to come to the meeting on Thursday night in that frame of mind, prayerfully, even in the meeting itself, even as you are involved and take part in the vote, but by lifting up your heart and crying to God that he will guide you as a church and as a congregation in the choices that are made. So that's a word or two to those that will choose. Can I say a word or two in the second place to those who will not be chosen? In other words, those who will not be voted into office this coming Thursday night. It is clear from the nature of things, not everyone can hold office. Not every male member of the church can be in office. It is inevitable that this Thursday night, some will not be chosen. And remember, brethren and sisters, that the fact is that most will not be chosen. And I want you to see that even as an encouragement today. Because what that means is you'll not be on your own. So don't think that if that's how things work out on Thursday night, you're not chosen for either office. Don't think that you're on your own, because there will be several others in the meeting in exactly the same condition or position as you. If you think of verse 23, the two names that are given there, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Well, Matthias was chosen. Joseph was not chosen. So think of how he must have felt that night in the early church in Jerusalem. So this is something, men and women, that you need to think about, and it's something that you need to understand. Think as well of Acts chapter 6. Remember, we looked at that, that the commencement of the office of the deacon. And remember that it says that the number of the disciples was multiplied. There was a vast number in the church at that time, but just 7 were chosen for office. The vast majority were not appointed a deacon or as deacons at that time. So there will be those not chosen. And perhaps you will be among them. You will be among that number. And I just want to say to you this morning, you need to be aware of that. And you need to be prepared, and you need to be ready for that outcome. And the way that you prepare, again, it's by prayer, brethren and sisters. Pray for grace. Pray for peace. Pray for the strength of God. And pray for direction from the Lord for your life. If the Lord doesn't open up this door, that he'll guide you on in days to come. Because the sad thing is, often, men not chosen for office, they get bitter about it. Remember, we talked a wee bit about that one Thursday night at the midweek meeting. I have known men over the years who, because they weren't elected, actually left the church. And then they went to another church to try to get elected, to try to get into office. In that church, they couldn't accept what had happened. I have known men who went and started their own church, their own work, so they could be the boss, so that they could be in charge. If they won't put me into a position of authority, well, I'll just be the authority in my own church. And I have known men over the years, and you have known them too, who have stopped going to any church, went away from the Lord. We sometimes talk about those that have lost out with God. And this is sometimes what happens as a result of these things. Became backslidden, cold of heart, and now not anywhere in the Christian life or in the work of God. How sad all of that is, men and women. But I want to say to you today, as we prepare for Thursday night, you need to guard against that in your own heart. Do you know what that sort of attitude displays? It displays pride. Somebody thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think, as the New Testament says. If you're not chosen on Thursday night, there's some things you need to remember and consider. One very important thing is this. It must not be God's will for you to be in office. And I urge you, brethren in particular, accept the will of God. And I say that to the whole congregation too. Accept the will of God, whatever it may be. Don't be self-willed. Remember Titus setting out the qualifications for the bishop or for the elder. That's one of the things that we're to note. The man's not to be self-willed, just his own will, his own way. Rather, I encourage you to come to the meeting and say, and I want to say this to every member, not just the men whose names will go forward. You come to the meeting on Thursday night in this frame of mind and with this attitude, say, the will of the Lord be done. And even if the man that you're thinking of or the men that you're thinking of are not elected, that's the attitude to come with, brethren. That's the spiritual frame of mind. Just to say, the will of the Lord be done. Can I ask you this? Would you want to be in office? Would you want to be anywhere in the Christian life if it's not the will of God? Remember, that should ever be our burden, our priority, to know and to do His will. And remember that if God closes one door, what He'll do is He'll open another. Maybe the Lord has something else for you, perhaps even something far better in the work of God in days to come. It's interesting there in Acts 1, that man that is called Barsabbas, Joseph called Barsabbas, surnamed Justus. Did you ever notice that over in Acts 15, there's a Judas Barsabbas? Maybe it's the same man. The Justus is maybe abbreviated there to Judas. But that Judas Barsabbas is described in this way in Acts 15. One of the chief men among the brethren. Some of the commentators reckon it is the same man. And he accepted the outcome of the vote that night, but the Lord led him on in the work, and he became one of the most prominent men in the New Testament church. So if the Lord closes this door, keep in mind that He maybe has something else, something far greater for you to do in days to come. And perhaps it's not God's time for you to be in office either. Do you remember what the Savior said about the cross? Mine hour is not yet come. It's just not the right time. Maybe you need more experience, more preparation, more spiritual maturity, more time for all of those things to happen. If you think of John the Baptist, the Bible says that he was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Out there in the desert, what was the Lord doing with him? He was training him. He was teaching him. He was preparing him. And when the Lord's time came for him to be shown, to be brought into the public realm of the public eye, Then the Lord did it. But all that happened before that was the Lord molding and shaping his life. You know, one of the things that was a great surprise to me, the fellows I went through the college with, very capable fellows they were, I was well behind the most of them. The Reverend McIntyre, who's now the minister of our church in Clocker Valley, and the Lord has encouraged and blessed our brother there greatly. The Reverend McIntyre went through the Whitfield College at the same time as I did. A very capable young man, just come out of his A-levels, very able. But when the Reverend McIntyre left the college, there was 11 years that passed before a call was issued to him, before a door was opened for ministry. I found that very, very surprising, taking into account the very talented and capable and godly young man that he was. Mine hour is not yet come. Sometimes the Lord thinks we need a wee bit more time, a wee bit more experience, a wee bit more preparation. So maybe it's not the will of God for you to be in office. And keep in mind even what we're thinking of there in the light of our brother McIntyre. Sometimes God tests us as his people. The Bible says if Abraham the Lord tempted, Acts 11 gives us the New Testament commentary on that. Remember that God doesn't tempt any man. But in Hebrews 11, the Lord tried him. It was a test when the Lord asked him to take Isaac to Moriah and to offer him there. Sometimes the Lord tests us. Do you remember the feeding of the 5,000, the discussion the Savior had with Philip about how he would feed the multitudes? This, he said, to prove him. And I want you to see that maybe through these events, through what happens on Thursday night, the Lord may test you too. He may try you, test your heart. Remember, he's the one that sees the heart, the reaction of the heart. The Lord maybe will test your attitude, test your reaction. Maybe what the Lord will test is to see your faithfulness, to see if you'll still be faithful, still faithful to the Lord in your walk, in your life, still faithful to the church, still faithful to the local congregation, even if you're not in office, even if you're not given one of those prominent leadership positions. Can I point out to you, there will be many good men chosen for office in this church. I have not a doubt of that. But you know, in many respects, it takes a better man not to be chosen. And it takes a better woman for her husband not to be chosen. There's times the man can accept the decision, but the wife doesn't. But it takes a better man or a better woman not to be chosen. Why do we say that? Well, for this reason, because it takes more grace, takes more character, takes more humility to accept the decision on the night and to carry on with God and to carry on with the local church. You'll be disappointed if you're not elected, if you're not chosen. There will be pain. There will be hurt. But many of us have been there. Many of us have been in that position before. But don't let the disappointment hinder you. Remember, the devil is so subtle, men and women. How he can get into a church and how he can get into the life of a Christian to destroy them. Don't let the disappointment hinder your walk, hinder your service for Christ, hinder your usefulness in the cause of the gospel. If you read the life of Abraham Lincoln, I'll not take the time this morning to catalogue them all, but there were so many disappointments and setbacks that Abraham Lincoln had. Opportunities that he thought would be extended to him. Times when he stood for public office and so on. So many disappointments that Abraham Lincoln had. But despite them all, he kept on and he kept faithful. And we all know the story. Finally, he was given the highest office in the land. Finally, he became president of the United States of America. And I urge you to follow that example. Do the same. Who knows what the future might hold? Who knows what position the Lord might have for you? So a word to those that will choose, a word to those that will not be chosen. Just finally and quickly, let me say a word or two to those that will be chosen. Let me stress to you, again, men and women, it's a serious thing to choose those who will hold office, but it's a very, very serious thing to be chosen for office. It ought not to be taken lightly. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with it. For one thing, the future of the work of God here, the future direction and so forth, of the work of God here in this place will be in your hands. So I urge you to take that in and to take it to the Lord and pray for His grace and for His strength. And remember that all that you do in office, all that you do in whatever position, but it's especially true of the office bearers of the church, they will have to answer to God for that. Let me remind you of that and impress that upon your hearts and you today. Never forget it. They watch as they that must give an account. It's a serious responsibility. And if you are chosen on Thursday night, I want to exhort you, men and women, to be faithful. Be faithful to God in the position that you're given. The scriptures state very clearly it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Nothing worse than unfaithful men in leadership positions in the house of God. Give your all to the task with which you are entrusted. Don't be careless with it. Don't be indifferent. Don't have the Laodicean lukewarm spirit. Don't be half-hearted in your efforts. Do you remember the Old Testament priests? It says that they were consecrated. The word consecrated, if you look at the marginal reference when it's found, it literally was that they had their hands full. And I want to urge every Christian here today, but especially every man that will be in office, to have your hands full of the work of God, not the things of this world. Don't be a worldly man in that regard, that worldly things take first place in your life. Have your hands full of the cause of the gospel and the work of God, and do all you can within your power to further the kingdom of Christ in this place. So a word or two to those that will choose, those not chosen, and those who in the will of God and in His providence and sovereignty will be chosen and given a place. And I pray, brethren and sisters, that these thoughts today will help you all, whatever your position might be, and guide you over these next few days. And may God bless this work. May He bless this testimony. May He lead us on to greater heights with Himself, to greater days. And I pray, let me read you the text. They prayed and said, Thou Lord, He's the only one that can guide you. He's the one you need to talk to. Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts. Remember, we want men after God's own heart, which knowest the hearts of all men. Show, the Lord can reveal it. He can make it clear. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen. The men that God has chosen is what we're striving after. So ask the Lord to make that clear. Make that known to you. May God bless His word to our hearts today. 440, please.